John McCain passed away this weekend. So we honor the life and times of John McCain.
Hello, I'm Dr. Pichani. Today I want to talk to you about how false heroes are created in the name of honor and grandeur for our country. In particular, I'm talking about John McCain, who's unfortunately dying, but he had a history which really put a black mark on him in our American experience in Vietnam. And let me tell you what I think. I've never liked John McCain. I knew a lot about his history. I knew that he was a spoiled, entitled brat at Indianapolis. His father was head of St. Pac. His grandfather was a famous admiral. In turn, he was one of the lowest men in the class of 899 people at Annapolis. He should have been thrown out, but his father kept him in. His flying experience was erratic and dangerous. He crashed several planes and then crashed on the USS Forrestal, killing several Americans. What he is known for, though, is for having been shot down on a 29th bombing mission over Vietnam. He claims he was tortured and has fractured his hands and his face. That's not correct. He destroyed his arms and his face on the ejection. However, what happened as a POW is the case in point. I know several of the POWs who were in the Hanoi Hilton with him, and they found him despicable. They found him to be a coward, a traitor, and the fact that he refused to be released because it was considered bravery was nonsense. The reason he could not leave the prison in Vietnam was the simple fact that he would defy military order and would have been arrested for what he had done as a criminal, as a POW. In fact, the remaining part of his life is quite despicable and disgraceful. He was involved in the SNL scandals and Keating. He was corrupt, and he never had to go to prison for that. Then subsequently, he closed all of the POW records so nobody would know what kind of a treasonous individual he was. And then, very much like any sociopath, he decided that the best things to do for America is to go to war. Any war and all wars. So he invited the Iraq war, the war in Syria, the war in Libya, the war in Somalia, Sudan, and everywhere else. In fact, he killed more Americans than any other president I would have known of, even more than George W. Bush. Now, who testified for his veracity and the fact that he is going to be a new hero? The man who testified on his behalf is none other than another coward and treasonous military officer, other than David Petraeus. Let me tell you about General David Petraeus, a man who lived right next to West Point, married the commandant's daughter. He was a very ambitious little man, received all kinds of accolades as a very smart individual, went to Princeton and forced his supervisor to give him a PhD in less than a year and a half. But what was it that made David Petraeus great? It was David Petraeus. He never really had been in combat, and in fact awarded himself some combat medals, which a lot of military officers said, we don't understand how we received it. More importantly, David Petraeus was caught for a major felony in a criminal act, passing over 5 notebooks with top secret information to a woman whom he seduced while he was director of the CIA. Normally, he would have been in prison for that for 10 to 15 years, but he got a little slap on his hand. So it's not an accident that David Petraeus agrees that John McCain, another coward and traitor, is a great man. Then the third man we're talking about is Bob Kerry. Most of you don't know very much about him. He's a Democrat. He was a pharmacy student and came out of Nebraska. He did join the SEALs. He did go into Vietnam, and he was injured in Vietnam and received the Congressional Medal of Honor. He knew he should not have received the Congressional Medal of Honor because, unfortunately, his foot was shot off, and he knew it was just an accident in war. He hadn't done anything that was particularly heroic. He said it is present days, he said, I don't deserve it. At the same time, he received the Bronze Star for having killed 22 innocent men, women, and children. So what's the moral of the story? John McCain doesn't ride any higher than Trump, who refused to serve in our Vietnam War. But those who excuse him...
The life and times of John McCain. May he rest. It is Monday, August 27th, 2018. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. My co-host, Roger Stone, joins me in the second hour. Harrison Smith joins me at 3:30 here in just 30 minutes. We will be discussing what happened in Jacksonville at a Madden NFL video game tournament where there was a shooting. We'll discuss that with Harrison Smith. I've got plenty of news to get to. And who knows, we may even have time to open up the phone lines in between all the news, all of the video clips, and Roger Stone, who is now red-linked on Drudge Report, who believes he is going to be indicted next. As usual, though, before we get into the final flight pattern here, we have to do some groundwork. A, you can always find us at Infowars.com/show. I don't know how much longer the restreams and the mirrors and the re-uploads of the War Room is going to be available on YouTube. I know a lot of people are trying to blast that out to beat that censorship, but probably not going to last long. So Infowars.com/show, warroom.show for our archives. That's warroom.show for our archives. And for the time being, we are still live on Twitter and I think Facebook. Are we still on Facebook? I can't even keep track these days. Yes, we are still on Facebook. Okay, so the War Room is still live on Facebook and Twitter. That is until Voldemort Jones shows up again and they have to shut us down. So warroom.show is where you can find all the archives, infowars.com/show for all the live streams, and the official app, Infowars official app, of course, to take us with you on the go, on your cell phone, the live video streams, the live audio streams as well. The InfoWars official app. Okay, so that, check that off the list. Now, let's talk about some events that are upcoming that I would love to take part in with you. I will be taking part in these events. I invite you to join me. Let's begin with September 22nd. That is September 22nd. In fact, I may be scooping Jones on this. I don't even know if Alex is aware of this yet. On September 22nd, this Saturday at 1 p.m., it is the Free Alex Jones March. It is a march against the censorship of Alex Jones. It is Free Alex Jones Rally. It is in downtown Austin, Texas at the state capitol, hosted by Patriot Prayer. We thank Joey Gibson and the other great people with Patriot Prayer for hosting this march. It's the Free Alex Jones Rally. It's Saturday, September 22nd, 1 p.m. at the state capitol here in Austin, Texas. I will be there. And you will be there as well. Free Alex Jones Rally, September 22nd, 1 p.m., the state capitol in Austin, Texas. Then in November, I am hosting the Stop Government Funding of Abortion. That is Saturday, November 10th, also at 1 p.m. That will be at the Planned Parenthood in Austin. That's Planned Parenthood South Austin on East Ben White Boulevard. So this is going to be right after the midterms. If Republicans get in, maybe they can hear our message and stop the government funding of Planned Parenthood, which funds abortion, and the Democrat Party. And if it's the Democrats that get in, then we need to raise our voices too, because, well, they're going to continue to fund Planned Parenthood and they're going to abort more children and they're going to continue to fund themselves to the tune of hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars in the large aggregate. So be sure to mark those events on your calendar, the Free Alex Jones Rally, Saturday, September 22nd, and the Stop Government Funding of Abortion, Saturday, November 10th, both at 1 p.m. here in Austin, Texas. And I love having these events because I get to meet so many of the audience, which we've got a special for the audience. If you go to InfoWarsStore.com and you purchase the InfoWars Hexagon logo t-shirt, it is the official t-shirt of the War Room. I wear it now. Pretty much every day, you can see it right there, $14.95 flat rate right now at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code WARROOM. But here's the deal. It is the final week. In fact, Friday is literally the last day, is Friday, because that's when the calendar turns. So the War Room code, coupon code WARROOM, is only good until midnight, August 31st. So that's midnight this Friday. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the InfoWars Hexagon logo t-shirt for $14.95 with coupon code WARROOM before Friday, because that will be it. It's back up to full price on Friday. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, get your InfoWars Hexagon logo t-shirt, the official t-shirt of the War Room with coupon code WARROOM, $14.95. Cannot get a better deal. My favorite t-shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. Just did all of the groundwork for today. Now, let me tell you what you can expect moving forward. We're going to go into the mind of the insane. Yes, I am directly stealing this from Mark Dice, the comedic genius. Into the mind of the insane. Thanks to Twitter and blogs, we can now go directly into the mind of the insane. People like Robert Reich. Some call him Robert Reich. Robert the Third Reich. Robert the Fourth Reich now. So we've got Laughing at Liberals or Into the Mind of the Insane. I have, now today's title for the show is Google and Democrats' plans to try and rig midterms elections leaked. Now, I will admit that is a bit of a troll, but it's also real. Because let me explain what happened right before I went on air today. First, though, let's rewind the clocks back to the 25th. From PJ Media, 96% of Google search results for Trump news are from liberal media outlets. So basically, and again, we reported on this years ago. I mean, you can go to Infowars.com and search Google rigging their algorithms against conservative, Google rigging their algorithms against YouTube, Google rigging their algorithms against Alex Jones, Google rigging their algorithms against Trump. In fact, I covered it in real time, live on air, with Marcos Morales, who's sitting right behind the glass right there. So I not only did we report it, I then proved it to you in real time, live on air. And then there were other people that did it by searching in Bing and searching in other search engine optimization tools to find out that, yes. So yes, Google search results are rigged to their agenda or to their liking. Like if you search Alex Jones, what do you find? Megyn Kelly interviews Alex Jones. Oh, how convenient. It's the only thing that shows up every time. First time, Sandy Hook. So you already knew that was going on with Google rigging their search algorithms to produce the results that they want you to find. Promote the other, we'll call it liberal news outlets, fake news outlets, corporate news outlets, the colluding press outlets. So we already knew that was going on. Then you have this from New York Magazine. Inside the midterm campaigns, fight to ward off cyber attacks before it's too late. Now, last week I was discussing this exact thing, and I can't believe they actually printed the story. Remember last week when I said, you would think if you read these stories about Google and Facebook and Twitter and all of these social media companies worried about Russian meddling and meddling in the election and election hacking, you would think that the election actually happened on these social media platforms. But now they took it one step further and wrote this story yesterday for New York Magazine. And it talks about how Google and Facebook and Twitter and all of them, they're fighting off the Russians. That's right, the Russians. The Russians are hacking. The Russians are meddling. The Russians are spreading memes and propaganda. It's the Russians around every corner. And Google and Facebook and Twitter and everybody are meeting to figure it all out before the midterms. But then you read the story and it's hilarious. Because what are they talking about? They're saying they have to protect the Democrats. I'm not making this up. Read this for yourself. They have to protect the Democrats from phishing, from cyber attacks, from hacking, and from clicking on things that would allow them to have all of their data be stolen from whatever computer or whatever thing they're using to click on that link. And it's all Democrats. And it says, the Russians are getting their hands on Democrat emails, getting inside Democrat platforms. And then it talks about stuff like WikiLeaks, how they go in there and then they release emails and they release information that expose Democrat crimes, and they're complaining. They're like, you're not allowed to know about Democrat crimes before an election. That might change your opinion to vote on a Democrat. You can't know about that.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
blasting off into the future, desperately clinging to the handles of freedom on this rocket ship through space and time. Welcome back to the War Room. I've got a big announcement to make today, too. I was actually going to do it in the first segment, and I forgot. But I've got a big announcement to make. Maybe I'll make it at the end of this segment. Maybe I'll make it on later on in the show. But I want to get back to what I was talking about in the last segment before I forget. Let me explain how the Democrats and Google are planning to rig the midterm elections. Now, you can say, well, that's a little aggressive, Schroyer, to say that they're going to rig them. Well, now, hold on a second. They're claiming that the Russians are rigging and that the Russians are meddling, so why can't I say that? I've got more proof than they have. So back to what I was talking about. We already know Google is rigging its search results. Google is rigging its algorithm so that its search results produce their desired results, which is more liberal-based news outlets, the ABCs, the CNNs, the Huffington Posts, the BuzzFeeds, the Snopes. Snopes. What a joke Snopes is. I wish I could. Snopes. I'll tell you. Anyway, so Google is rigging their search algorithms. We already know that's going on. So you search Trump, what do you get? 800 negative Trump articles before the one article, like, how about the news today? Dow jumps more than 250 points. NASDAQ hits 8,000 as U.S. and Mexico strike trade deal. So President Trump has a massively successful trade deal with Mexico. They said it could never be done. They said, oh, Trump in Mexico, Trump's cutting us off from Mexico. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Then he has an amazing trade deal, has a phone press conference essentially with him today, and it all goes well. Oh, oops. But you won't find that if you search into Google. Okay, so then what happens? Then you've already got all the stories last week where Facebook and Twitter and Google and everyone are talking about how they're going to stop the Russians. They're going to stop the hacking. They're going to stop the meddling. Even though the elections don't happen on Facebook or Google or Twitter, somehow they are going to stop it. Somehow they are the ones. But it's all about hacking and meddling and propaganda and all of this ridiculous stuff. And so then the New York Magazine publishes the story yesterday. Inside the midterm campaigns, fight to ward off cyber attacks before it's too late. And again, what is it? Social media. Google. Stopping the Russians from hacking the Democrats. That's what this story is all about. How Google and Facebook and Twitter are going to stop the Russians from hacking the Democrats. Why? Because as in this story, from republished by the New York Magazine, originally in the Daily Intelligencer by Gabriel DeBenedetti, the Russians are exposing the Democrats for all their crimes. And it even talks about it in the story, and it says we have to stop it. But wait a second. You have people trying to expose anything and everything that Trump has ever done or his family's ever done or anyone that's ever associated with him has ever done. If he sneezed and he didn't use a tissue or he coughed it not into his elbow or didn't wash his hands after he went to the bathroom, it'd be a nuclear disaster. Every story would be about that. Leaked email shows Donald Trump doesn't wash hands after using the bathroom. What does this mean for the midterms coming up next? Leaked email shows this. Oh, but with them, it's leaked Democrat email shows they're involved in spirit cookings. Leaked Democrat email shows they're involved in satanic events. Leaked Democrat email shows they have children in the pool for your entertainment. Leaked Democrat email shows Obama has hot dog parties for $66,000. Leaked email shows the Democrats colluded with the mainstream media to rig the presidential debates. Leaked media shows that Hillary Clinton stole the primaries from Bernie Sanders. That's right. Leaked Democrat emails show that Hillary Clinton think that her voters are dumb effers. That's right. The Russians hacked the Democrats and exposed how bad they are. Can you believe the Russians? And so this story even tells you that's what they're trying to stop. The Russians get into the Democrats' emails, release them to the public, so you can see how dirty and corrupt the Democrats are. And that's what they're trying to stop by their own admissions. And then, right before I go on air, Google Transparency tweets this out. good article from, what's the guy's name? Good article from Gabriel Debenebedetti. Good article from Debenebedetti highlighting Google's jigsaw and its role in the upcoming midterm elections. Why does it have a role? Again, the elections don't happen on Google's platform, do they? Am I missing something? The elections don't happen on Facebook. Are the elections happening on Twitter this year? But here's Google saying, Google has a role in the upcoming midterm elections. What is Google's role? As they admit, they're the ones citing the story from Gabriel Debenebedebedebedebe. They're the ones citing him saying, great article showing you Google's role in the midterms. I read the article. What is Google's role? To stop the Russians from hacking the Democrats. And what does it translate to? Again, go back to the 2016 elections. What are they claiming happened? Well, a bunch of different things to make up for Hillary's loss. They claim, one of their dozens of hilarious claims, that Julian Assange was colluding with the Russians, and that's why WikiLeaks released the Democrat emails. Well, why would releasing the Democrat emails impact the election, you ask? Well, because it exposed how corrupt the Democrats were. Exposed how they rigged it for Hillary, colluded with the media, the list goes on and on, pizza parties. So it's all in there. And it's all in this story that Google points to as the article to read to look at Google's role in the upcoming midterm election. So Google has now admitted to you. So I have Google's and the Democrats' plan to rig the midterm elections right here. Let me tell you, Google and the Democrats' plan to rig the midterm elections. You've already seen it. Censor-free speech. You see, the Democrats don't have a chance to win this election on policy. The Democrats don't have a chance to win this election on ideas. The Democrats don't have a chance to win this election on facts. The Democrats don't have a chance to win this election on statistics. The Democrats really don't have a chance to win this midterm election, period, unless Google, who thinks that they have the entire population under mind control now, combined with the corporate media of Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS News, NBC News, the like, they believe they have the entire population under brain control and they can literally steal this election by censoring free speech, moving the Overton window, and decide what you can and can't see, what you can and can't get access to. So that's Google and the Democrats' plan to rig the 2018 midterm elections is to censor free speech, silence the truth, make sure their opponents have no voice, never let you know the truth about Trump, and to amplify and spread all the disinformation and lies that come out of the Democrat Party and the corporate television media. There's Google and the Democrats' plan to rig the midterm elections.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So over the weekend, there was a video game tournament, a Madden video game tournament, where a crazed individual went in and shot some of the players after losing a match. And, you know, it is weird. There's so many weird angles anytime you cover a mass shooting. But Harrison Smith joins me in studio to discuss this. And the one thing to me, before we get into the nuts and bolts of talking about this story, is you just look at the individual who I want to try to not say these people's names anymore, because I think some of them, maybe not this guy, but I feel like some of these people do the shooting because they feel like, you know, it's their one way to become famous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we should give them like demeaning nicknames or something. But regardless, you look at the shooter, okay? You just look at the guy, and from the pictures of him playing the game before, and he looks exactly like Adam Lanza. And what am I talking about? I'm saying they have the look. They have those dead eyes, mm-hmm. that look where, like, you know, it's almost like there's no emotion behind them or something. Like, you could see them, like, having no emotion, you know, mowing down a crowd. But I feel like we always, everybody's got, you know, oh, it's this, it's that. Yeah, there's the picture right there. What's to blame? How do we stop this? What's the answer? Okay, well, everybody has what they think it is. They already had a secure event. They already had a gun-free event. So if that was the answer, I guess that's not the answer because it didn't work. But I look at an individual like this and I say, and I don't know if the records are out yet, but it's 99% of mass shooters like this are on pharmaceutical drugs.
Right.
And I look at that individual, and to me, that looks like an individual who's drugged out, pilled out, video game head, who just, whatever reason, is no longer in any sort of human empathetic state to pull a trigger and feel remorse or the truly gripping emotions, I would imagine, that come with taking a life.
Yeah. I mean, we've all played video games and lost and felt like...
Well, I've never lost.
Well, okay. I think our Super Smash tournaments disagree. But no, I mean, yeah, to actually go through with what your emotions might be telling you to do is symptomatic of just this catastrophic inability for the people in the modern world to deal with their emotions. Right. So that's what I was, it's like, you're not supposed to politicize a tragedy, but I blame the liberals. That's basically what I'm getting
at. Wait a second. Let me explain your logic.
My logic is this. I'm not saying that it's the liberals' fault that this happened. I'm saying it's
so the liberals didn't pull the trigger.
The liberals didn't pull the trigger. Although this guy, there are comments on the internet where he called people Trump tards. This guy actually was a liberal if we're talking about that, but that's not the important part. I'm saying that this idea of, you got to learn to lose. You got to learn to lose gracefully, right? Or else you're going to go mad. You're going to do something you shouldn't do. And a lot of people are going to end up dead. It's a part of being an adult. It's part of living in a society that you learn to lose gracefully. And you don't always deserve to win. And sometimes even when you do deserve to win, you still lose. And that's still just life. And it's this symptomatic process that people go through now where they think that if they lose, it's not themselves that are to blame. It's the system. It's the world at large is just unfair. So it has to all be torn down. I mean, how short-sighted is it that the Democrats lose the Electoral College votes? And so they just want to get rid of the Electoral College. Like, it's so childish. It's so short-sighted. And it's frankly dangerous. I mean, right now, they're literally trying to plunge the United States into civil war because they lost an election, because they can't come to grips with the fact that they lost. It's the same thing that happened to this kid. He lost a game, and it's not the people who beat him. It's not their fault, right? The guy who beat him in Madden, who I'm pretty sure was the first victim of this kid, that I think that's correct. It's not his fault, right? You can't, but well, he won Madden. I mean,
beat the kid.
Yeah. It's not his fault that he beat him. It's this kid's fault for not being able to deal with it, not being able to lose gracefully, to interact in a society.
On a larger scale, how you have a mass hysteria in society now because they can't accept the results of the presidential election. They're going totally insane. And essentially they're killing society.
Right. I mean, they're literally willing to tear it all down because they lost it. And it's a childish
burn it to the ground, crash the economy, you know, everything,
right?
Impeach him for nothing. Remove him.
What I'm saying is we don't need gun control. We need emotion control. We need to be able to learn how to control our emotions because, you know, people always are talking about the guns. It's all, you know, immediately gun control now is trending on Twitter. I mean, that's where people go to, but the gun didn't pull its own trigger. The kid did. The kid was emotionally messed up. And you just have to look at the terrorist attack in England, where now they're saying we're going to ban cars in Parliament Square. It's like what they really want to do is ban the ability for people to feel things at a strong emotion. They want to ban the idea that people would cause violence at all, because that's the ultimate. You can't stop people from committing violence if they have murderous intent. There was a woman, a cancer patient outside a hospital in Houston, who was just sitting on a bench and some dude walked by and smashed her head in with a rock. You can't prevent that. You can't outlaw rocks. You can't outlaw that, right? So,
well, they'll write a law that say anytime you sit on a park bench, you have to wear a helmet.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that. But yeah, you can't legislate out murderous intent. You can't legislate out, immaturity. And that's
last I checked, killing someone was illegal.
Well, yes. It turns out that making something illegal doesn't stop people from doing it. And I don't know if... But that's actually a great point. Making something illegal doesn't stop people from doing it. We have torn down all of the fundamental pillars of our society that used to be community and religion and all these things. We've torn it down. We've replaced it with the state. We've replaced it with this idea that the only way to stop people from doing things is to get the state to come in and force them to stop. The reality is we need a foundation that encourages people to be decent human beings, to interact with each other, to have a support system, to not spend all day, every day playing video games and becoming completely detached from reality. It's not video games' fault. It's not anybody's fault except for, I guess you could say, the society as a whole falling away from the pillars that kept it together in the first place. Right now we're a house built on sand. We have no foundation. We have nothing that brings us together. I mean, literally, the Democratic platform at this point is essentially the antithesis to the Bill of Rights. I mean, they don't want free speech. They don't want gun control. They don't want any of these other things.
I mean, they don't want the Second Amendment.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they don't want the Second Amendment. They do want gun control. They don't want the First Amendment. So it's like, you know, America is the special country where we do all come from different places. We are not a singular nationality like places that have been for hundreds of thousands of years in Europe and all the rest of the world. We are a nation of immigrants, you could say, of differing religions, positions on all sorts of things. But we had the basic fundamental foundational agreement that the foundational documents represented, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Well, now those are getting torn down. Now those are getting questioned. They want to replace those. So we have nothing. We're free floating. We're just on this. We built a house on sand, and now we're looking around surprised that the foundation is slipping. Well, it's not confusing.
In the midst of this event, I think that there's so many different ways you can take it, because you look at this and you say, well, there's already laws on the books. If you have any domestic violence, history of drug abuse, you're not supposed to be able to get a gun in most states. In Florida, that might not be the case. It's actually one of I think it's actually rated the freest state in the union, according to studies. But what are you going to do? Because I don't even know. I mean, are you going to legislate law that says you can't get firearms if you're on X, Y, or Z pharmaceutical pill? Because is that infringing? I mean, I don't know. You got to debate that. Are you going to say, well, you know, video games are too volatile now. You can't have a gun if you play video games. Oh, now marijuana is legal. If you smoke marijuana, you can't have a gun. So it's got all these other things that maybe they'll just say, oh, well, if you do this, you can't have this. Where do we decide it makes sense? Where do we decide you can't do that? So I think there's, but why does he bring a gun anyway? I mean, right now you're thinking this is something premeditated, right? Why are you even bringing a gun to a Madden tournament?
Right.
So it really just makes you wonder. But I wonder, the guy sitting next to him, wonder what he wishes he had when he started hearing that gun go off. I wonder. Probably not a video game controller. Probably not a pencil. Probably a gun.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
I've got a big announcement to make before the end of the show. I'm gonna hold out, though. I'm gonna make you guys wait, and I'm gonna make that announcement at 5:06 Central. I'm gonna make a big announcement today on the War Room at 5:06 Central. My producer just handed me this story. AP Newsbreak: shooting suspect had history of mental illness. Apparently, had been in the hospital multiple times for mental illness, as well as prescribed multiple pharmaceutical psychiatric drugs, and I do believe had the gun illegally. I'd have to double check that, but either way, the point is gun laws would not have stopped this shooter because all the laws were already in place. And you know, I think, Harrison, maybe part of the problem is, you know, just naturally as human beings, instinctually we want to solve problems, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what humans are best at, solving problems. So we look at this and mass shootings here and shootings there, and we just want to solve it. Sometimes there's just not an easy solution. Sometimes the solution isn't so obvious. Sometimes the solution is the thing that you least want. But the solutions that have been provided to us from mostly the left side of the aisle are obviously not working.
Well, the point is that it's too late at this point to put in, you know, solutions now to this problem that has been, you know, going forward for so long, right? It's about having the things at the beginning of life that may not seem that important, but are, again, foundational in establishing a person who can interact with society in a responsible way. I mean, all you have to do is you can look at this guy. Well, I don't even remember his name, but the shooter. And even if I did remember, I wouldn't say his name. You can look at the last year tournament. He lost as well. And you can see when the guy goes up to shake his hand, just to tell him good game, the kid doesn't look him in the eye. He's mad. He's pissed off. He just sort of, you know, brushes him off. And it's
a pillhead who has no social interaction, probably.
Right.
Because he's playing Madden all day.
And so it's like, it's one of these things that's one of the things that you learn when you're a little kid and you play baseball and your team gets its butt kicked and you got to go through and shake the hands of all the people who just beat you. It might not even impact you on that day. It might not, you don't consciously absorb this message, but it is still lining you up, lining your trajectory up to go towards success, to go towards normalcy, to go towards, you know, a stable personhood. And you can see just one weak link in the chain and everything breaks apart. And we've completely thrown to the side all of these incredibly foundational things. We were talking about, what's that?
It's funny. They're showing this video. This is an old video I played. I'm not sure why anybody brought this up, but it's funny because this is a pitcher who struck out his friend in the state semifinals. And at the end of it, they hugged and they said, good game. And, you know, I'm actually glad you guys pulled this up. It's amazing. It's like you're reading my mind. Obviously, I still have a lot of friends in sports media, and I don't watch sports nearly as much as I used to. Every once in a while on a weekend, I might get like an hour or two to kind of check some stuff out. And I was watching some sports over the weekend. And what you're talking about, I can actually bring back to the sports world, and I'll explain why. Because it sports now has been bastardized from what it originally was. Sports used to be about competition and tough guys and grittiness and grinding it out. You know, who's the tougher guy? Who's got the mental wherewithal? Who's got the physical wherewithal? Now sports is just a made-for-TV event. Most of the games are rigged. It's all fake. You look at LeBron James. LeBron James literally, people don't even talk about this. LeBron James literally had the NBA change the rules so that he could play 48 minutes a night. It used to be you'd get maybe one or two nights off in the finals. Thanks to LeBron, now you get four because LeBron plays 48 minutes a night and he needs time to get off. So that's him changing the rules for the NBA. So it's all, they just soften everything. And it starts at the young level. Everybody participates. Everybody gets an award, right? Well, no. Not everybody wins. You need to grow up learning that you lose sometimes. And you know what? Sometimes there's someone on the other side of the field that's better than you. And that's just the case. He's better than you. Get over it. Go train harder, or guess what? Play a different sport. Try something else. He's always going to be better than you. So now that they've totally bastardized, because that's all the primal competitive, you know, nature kids get anymore. You're not really battling. You don't have to strive to go hunt or starve for most people. You know what I'm saying? So competing in sports is like the last primal urges of instinct of combat.
Masculinity.
And tribalism that you have left. Your team battling it out in a physical, you know, exertion of competition to see who's better. Well, now, everybody wins. Yay. Yeah. So they've ruined that. And then some kids just don't even want to play anymore because of that aspect. So then what happens? You grow up and you can't accept losing. You can't accept real competition, and you can't accept losing, and so you become a mental patient. You don't know how to lose, so you cry for 2 years after the result of an election. You shoot up a group of people after you lose a game of Madden. That's why, for me, I love playing basketball, just pickup basketball, because guess what? The ball is round. The hoop is round. The ball is the same inflation for all the players. There's no ref. The lines don't move. So it's like, but everything's rigged in the world now, and that's genuine. So these people freak out because everything really is rigged, and then they think it's rigged against them because they've never experienced defeat or had anyone said, sorry, he's better than you, get over it. And so they freak out about an election for 2+ years, or they freak out about a video game and shoot people up. I didn't even mean to go off on that rant, but I really think that it comes down to just kids, just, oh, you're okay, a little pat on the head. No, sometimes you got to say, you know what, son? You got your ass kicked out there.
Yeah, and it's okay. And that's it's okay. You don't change the rules because you lost.
Yeah, don't blame the ref. Don't blame the rules.
And it's so obvious. I mean, just look at the nuclear option for the Supreme Court nominee. It's like you didn't like that you weren't winning with the rules, so you changed the rules. Well, now there's new people in office, and you're freaking out because you changed the rules, and now they're going to be used against you. It's like you have to be so short-sighted to not respect these institutions that the liberals are just willing to completely throw to the side, completely tear down the minute that they don't go their way. They literally think that if they lose, it's not their fault. It's the system itself is wrong. They want equality across the board, equality of outcome, which is, of course, what they say they don't want. But just look at their actions. It's exactly what they're going for.
And it's always something on the surface. And I think it goes both ways. Our answer for the surface issue is, okay, the pills are to blame. On the other side of the aisle, they say the gun is to blame. Well, maybe there's things to blame here that nobody is even talking about. You know, how about the child's upbringing? Was there multiple parents? Did he have a single parent? You know, there's all these different things. And it's just like we always just want to look at here's what happened. Here's what's to blame. But nobody wants to blame the societal rot that we all endure every day. Nobody wants to blame the cultural rot that we endure every day.
Well, that's like what we were talking about in the break. The idea that now we're raising statues to Baphomet and Satan in front of the city hall and turning around and going, why are things so messed up? Why does everybody seem so evil these days? It's like you're literally deifying the personification of evil. And then you're turning around and wondering why everybody's so messed up. It's like, I mean, hard to understand?
But that's something that they can actually see. Think about all the subliminal devil worshiping right. that goes on. Think about all the ceremonial devil worshiping that goes on in Hollywood, in mainstream entertainment that these people don't even know. That's what I'm saying. It's like we've had a satanic Sodom and Gomorrah cultural rot from the time we were born. And so, yeah, really, you're surprised that a bunch of psychos in their 20s that are our age that didn't get raised properly, went to a public school where they got no education, unfortunately, I guess, never had parents that made sure they were mentally okay, probably ended up being pillheads. All of this stuff is what leads to that.
Yeah.
No, but we don't talk about that. We say, oh, it's the guns. Or, oh, it's the pills.
Yeah. No, it's totally symptomatic. All of these are just symptoms of a disease that our society is in the throes of and may not survive, to be quite honest. I mean, this is a potentially terminal disease that we have to try to fix, not the symptoms of, but the actual cause of.
Well, the good news is liberalism isn't terminal. I have seen people recover, make full recoveries. A lot of them are doing the hashtag walk away right now. But think about it like this. They say if... we will ban guns if it saves just one life, right? We'll ban guns if it just saves one life. Well, how about you ban abortion? You could save millions of lives, but they're not interested in that. And doesn't that just show you how fraudulent, really, their whole crying over these shooting victims really is?
Well, and it's just a matter of numbers, too. If you look at Israel, just increased the amount of legal gun permit holders that they have by a huge amount, like at least doubled it, in response to an increased amount of gun violence. They increased gun violence, so they said, okay, we need more armed people around to stop all these bad guys, and they increased the number of gun holders. So, I mean...
And I bet you gun violence goes down.
Of course. I mean,
maybe not in the short term, but I bet long term. Short term, there may be a little spark there. That seems organic. But then after that, once the bad guys realize, oh boy, they're all armed? All right, we're backing off.
An armed populace is a safe populace.
Just watch The Magnificent Seven. It explains everything.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Give me liberty or give me death. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream right now at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to be joined by Roger Stone, my co-host, who is the author of the Clinton's War on Women. Now, this is one of his older books. Stone's Rules is his newest book, available at InfoWarsStore.com. Why am I telling you about this? Well, we can't forget about all the crimes of the Clintons and all of the atrocities committed by the Clintons. And while they're going to search under any tree and any rock to look for a crooked toenail of Donald Trump, let's not forget all the toenail clippings that the Clintons have left behind as they have been involved in American politics. Truly one of the most corrupt, despicable political families in America's history. Just watch this short, bone-chilling video on the Clinton body count.
Remember John F. Kennedy Jr.? He was declared the front runner for the New York Senate seat back in 1999. Days later, his plane crashed into the Atlantic Ocean, and his rival, Hillary Clinton, was elected senator. Mary Mahoney was a Clinton White House intern. She knew enough of the inner workings of Bill's sexual advancements to be a star witness during the Clinton impeachment trials. She was brutally executed at a Starbucks she was managing in 1997. In 1993, White House counsel Vince Foster was found dead in Fort Marcy Park near D.C. He supposedly killed himself, and among a lengthy list of potential foul play, the bullet was never found. Then there's James McDougal, a key witness for White House prosecutors. He was serving his 3-year sentence for bank fraud at the Fort Worth Federal Medical Center in Texas. And just before he was to give a testimony before the grand jury, McDougal suffered a heart attack in solitary confinement. In 2015, Walter Scheib, a White House chef hired under Bill Clinton, joined the list. His body was found at the bottom of a river, nearly 2 miles from the base of the trail he was reportedly hiking. An autopsy determined that Scheib's death was accidental drowning, but he might have known too much. 27-year-old Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich was shot and killed in D.C. this year. There is speculation that he was the source of the controversial leaked emails allegedly sent by DNC staffers, and that he may have been murdered in retaliation. Then Sean Lucas, the lead attorney in a fraud case against the DNC, was found lying on the bathroom floor by his girlfriend when she returned home on August 2nd. His death was reported classified, pending the results of an autopsy. To this day, questions.
And the list goes on. Barrington Wisenant, John Ash, just barely scratching the surface here, folks. Old Clinton bodyguards, chefs. I mean, the list is honestly over 40 people on the Clinton body count list of people in close association with the Clintons that die a suspicious death. I mean, you want to talk about where there's smoke, there's fire. How about where there's rivers and pools and oceans of blood following the Clintons? There's murder. So it's just a reminder as to what we're dealing with here, folks. And the Clintons. The Clintons are just small pawns in a game who realized how out of control Earth really was and just had no heart, no soul, and just figured, once they figured out how humanity had just been lied to, how the American history books don't tell you the truth, just everything, the Clintons just said, people are this dumb, people are this brainwashed, who cares what we do? Nobody's going to notice us laundering millions of dollars. Nobody's going to notice all the crimes we commit with the Clinton Foundation. Nobody's going to notice our associate Laura Silsby trying to sneak children across the border. Nobody's going to notice all the funds that were sent to Haiti not going to anything. No one's going to notice us paying for our own daughter's wedding with our foundation funds. No one's going to notice all those names. How about rest in peace, all the victims of coincidence and circumstance behind Bill and Hillary Clinton, folks. There's your lookout. Woo! Right in the throes of a cold civil war. And this is the War Room. Owen Schroyer, Roger Stone with you. And it's Roger, who they're going after next, folks. And, of course, he is red-linked on Drudge right now. Roger Stone, I'll be indicted next. The link to The Hill, that story on my co-host Roger Stone. So Roger joins me now. Roger, is there anything new that you have to indicate that they're coming after you, or is this just your estimation based on a series and pattern of events?
Well, it's common sense, Owen. I should be more precise. It's not that I expect to be indicted. It's that I expect to be framed. Is that I expect that there'll be an attempt to railroad me. I am the subject of a political witch hunt. My crime? Supporting Donald Trump for president. My crime? Defeating Hillary Clinton and producing that terrific book that's right there on your desk, The Clinton's War on Women. This is the definitive breakdown on the extraordinary corruption and criminality of Bill, Hillary, and yes, Chelsea Clinton. It is all there, folks, and sources around Hillary have told me that she was not fond of this particular tome. So, yes, I do think that Robert Mueller is out of control. He clearly has no interest whatsoever in the $600,000 that Hillary laundered through a big Democratic law firm, falsely calling it legal fees, when in fact it went to pay for the fabrication of the fake dossier by GPS Fusion, a fabrication that involved the involvement that included the involvement of Russian intelligence agents, the real Russian collusion. I am prepared. People ask me every day, are you worried? Are you concerned? No, a worry doesn't achieve anything. As Dwight Eisenhower said, plans are worthless, but planning is indispensable. You'll find that one in Stone's Rules because I cribbed it. And it's exactly right. We have a runaway federal prosecutor. I know that the special prosecutors have gone to the grand jury and said, oh, Roger Stone is a dirty trickster. Roger Stone says that he'll do anything to, quote, win at any cost. They leave out the part where I have always gone on to say, short of illegal activities. So this I can tell you, Owen, Mr. Mueller and his cohorts, who I'll be calling out for their own conflicts, they have no evidence of Russian collusion. They have no evidence of WikiLeaks collaboration. They have no tie between me and the release of John Podesta's emails. So, yeah, I think it is entirely possible that they may try to railroad me by framing me for some extraneous charge that has nothing to do with this. They may even hook up some bogus charge of campaign finance violations, as they did with Michael Cohen. But what they will find out shortly is that I'm not Michael Cohen, and I'm very focused on them, Aaron Zelinsky, Jeannie Rhee. They have their own conflicts, as they will learn.
Roger, do you think there's any plan right now to shut this phony witch hunt investigation down? Do you think there's any plan right now in the works to shut this down, or is it still kind of a read and react and they're considering it?
Well, I don't know, Owen, but yesterday on the Alex Jones show, we laid out an action plan for the president of the United States, who needs to recognize that he has a rogue Justice Department and a runaway federal prosecutor who has no interest whatsoever in corruption or campaign corruption or Russian collusion by Hillary Clinton and her campaign. The president's right about this being a witch hunt, but instead of demanding that Jeff Sessions declassify all of the information in the hands of the DOJ when it comes to the illegal and unconstitutional FISA warrants, the president needs to order the immediate declassification of all that information. While at the same time, he should declassify all of the emails that were sent from Huma Abedin to Anthony Weiner. We were told by James Comey that some 700,000 emails were sent and that they were all thoroughly reviewed and that there was nothing there to see, folks. But now we learn that only 3,000 of them were reviewed, and those were hand-selected by Peter Stroke, the disgraced FBI agent who was fired for his political involvement in a cover-up of the so-called insurance policy, the Department of Justice, Obama FBI effort to take Donald Trump down either before the election or after. So it is essential the president understand that his presidency stands in the balance. Yes, I believe they are moving aggressively against Donald Trump Jr. on the basis of some process crime. My source, who said that that was necessarily lying to the FBI, has clarified that it may be in connection with the Cohn payments from the Donald J. Trump Trust to Michael Cohn, which require two approvals. One we know from Alan Weisselberg, the longtime CFO of the Trump Organization, but the second one would have to be by either Donald Jr. or Eric Trump, family members, and the only other individuals with authority over disbursements from that trust. I think very highly of both of them. I think they are patriots. I actually don't think Michael Cohn did anything wrong in terms of the campaign finance charge against him. And the truth is, if they didn't have tax evasion or bank fraud charges against him, I don't think he would ever have pled and rolled on the president.
There is no campaign finance violation. It's total fake news, and that's going to eventually spill back onto Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. That's my prediction. But, Roger, getting back to what you said a minute ago, not only did Peter Strzok omit thousands of emails from the Anthony Weiner investigation. I mean, who's to say if the emails that he omitted weren't the most damning? Who's to say? We don't know. Only Peter Strzok can know. What do you know? Peter Strzok going through Anthony Weiner's emails, finding out what Anthony Weiner was doing. But then you have, so Strzok and Weiner getting together there. So then
he was definitely stroking the Weiner, no question.
There's no doubt Strzok was stroking the Weiner in this deal. Strzok stroked the Weiner quite hard, in fact. But all puns out of hand here. Donald Trump also tweets this out. The FBI only looked at 3,000 of 675,000 crooked Hillary Clinton emails. So, Roger, not only were the emails from the Weiner investigation carefully selected to omit the most damning, the same thing can now be said about the Hillary Clinton email investigation, which Peter Strzok also had his hand in. Roger, to me, this shows that this entire investigation was compromised from the get-go. We have enough evidence now to say that it was rigged and partisan from the beginning as well to protect Hillary Clinton and perhaps Barack Obama and Anthony Weiner as well. Obama, because he knew about the secret server and lied about it. Weiner, because who knows what else was on that laptop, you know, sexually texting underage girls. So to me, Roger, this means the whole investigation has to be reopened, since now we're finding out the investigation really never even happened.
Well, there'll be no investigation until Donald Trump fires Jeff Sessions, Rod Rosenstein, and has deepened the Justice Department to get rid of the Bush neocons as necessary to find an attorney general who is actually committed to the rule of law. You know, it's interesting reading this article in The Hill, in which they say I predicted that I would be indicted, when what I actually predicted is that I would be framed. And they point out that I was mentioned in the indictment of the 12 Russian intelligence agents. What they don't mention is the quote of Rod Rosenstein, who said, "There is no allegation in this indictment that any American citizen committed a crime." Or, as CNBC said, Rosenstein also highlighted that Friday's indictment does not allege that any American knowingly participated in a Russian operation. Why would The Hill leave those out of their story? Unless, of course, they're engaging in fake news. I'm Roger Stone. I'm with Owen Schroyer. You're in the right place in the War Room. In the next session, we talk about a front page story in the New York Times that says that Robert Mueller is pristine. He's godlike. He's never done anything wrong. We're going to break that down for you when we come back right here at the War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Roger, I feel remiss. I haven't done the due diligence yet today, but I'm glad that you're on now with me, Roger, so we can both do this. I'd just like to say hi to Media Matters. Hello, Roger. Wave hello to Media Matters. Say hello. Hi, Media Matters. Say hi, Media Matters. Hi, Southern Poverty Law Center. Hi, John Kerry. Hi, Brian Stelter and CNN. Come on, Roger. Well, Roger, say hello. Don't be rude.
You know what? Those people are beneath contempt. But you know what, Owen? Today is my birthday, the same day as Lyndon Baines Johnson. And of course, there's some irony there because my very first New York Times bestseller, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, lays out the entire case of why Lyndon Johnson murdered his predecessor. I use eyewitness evidence, fingerprint evidence, and deep Texas politics to establish why Lyndon Johnson had the motive, means, and opportunity to bump off JFK and then, of course, dominate the investigation into his murder in order to cover up what he had done. For those of you who are skeptical, I urge you to buy a copy immediately of The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. And I lay this out chapter and verse. How ironic that LBJ and I are born on the same birth date, although obviously a different year. Also born on this day, Josh Mankiewicz of NBC's Frontline. So it is a distinguished crowd, to say the least. But to the many, many, many info warriors who have wished me a happy birthday today, my heartfelt thanks for your salutations of the day.
Well, happy birthday, Roger. If we wouldn't get a copyright strike, I'd play the Beatles, They Say It's Your Birthday Right Now, my favorite birthday song. And a lot of what you wrote about in your book, LBJ, The Case for Killing Kennedy, was corroborated by the release of the classified papers on the JFK assassination, Roger.
That is absolutely accurate. We learned an enormous number of things about the Kennedy murder in the declassification of all of the documents, still some heavily redacted, but enough to demonstrate that the Warren Commission was fatally flawed, that they lied and the CIA lied and the FBI lied about their knowledge of the patsy, the guy they set up to take the fall, Lee Harvey Oswald. And of course, I reveal that the real shooter, at least one of the real shooters, was Mack Wallace, a man who left his fingerprints on the cardboard boxes in the so-called sniper's nest on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building. No fewer than six individuals tell the government, either the Dallas Police Department or the FBI, that they see a man who meets the physical description of Wallace, middle-aged, heavy-set, wearing glasses, balding, in the window at the sixth floor. And indeed, Mack Wallace is a convicted murderer with very clear ties to Lyndon Baines Johnson. Wallace, having been convicted of murder in 1951 in a love triangle that involved Lyndon Johnson's sister. So for that stunning story, go and get your copy of The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. And you can see how the deep state was in deep operation then, as they are now. In my view, John F. Kennedy was the first Kent president taken down in a coup d'etat. Richard Nixon was the second in a coup d'etat. Nixon's crime, well, he was a peacemaker. He negotiated a strategic arms limitation agreement with the Russians. He opened the door to China, ended the war in Vietnam, saved the state of Israel in the 1973 Yom Kippur War. Beyond that, he desegregated the public schools. Good God, the deep state had no idea he was a peacemaker. So he had to go. And now Donald Trump is third on their hit list. He is next in line for the deep state coup d'etat treatment. Incredibly, John Brennan, who we exposed right here at the War Room as an Islamic convert and a former supporter of the U.S. Communist Party as late as 1976, laid out the entire plan to take out Donald Trump on Bill Maher's program only a week ago. So we're ahead of the curve on all these issues, Owen.
That's right. And I think that John Brennan is even having the deep state flip on him right now, because you had Clapper and others saying, oh, you can't say treason, John. You're suggesting the president should be killed. But again, it most likely is projection. So again, you can find Roger's books at InfoWarsStore.com. You can also find the official InfoWars t-shirt, the one that I'm wearing here today, the InfoWars hexagon logo t-shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. It's my favorite t-shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. And this is one of only two t-shirts. That's how rare this is. This is one of only two t-shirts that have been endorsed by Roger Stone and the Roger Stone's best dressed list. So think about that the next time you're at InfoWarsStore.com. And the other t-shirt, the Bill Clinton rape t-shirt, I believe is sold out, so you can't even find it anymore. So this is the only t-shirt that you can still purchase that is on Roger Stone's best dressed approved t-shirt list. It's the InfoWars hexagon logo t-shirt with coupon code WARROOM. It's $14.95 right now, flat rate, folks. $14.95 flat rate with coupon code WARROOM. And take advantage of that before the end of the month, because that coupon code will no longer be valid and it's going to go back up to full price, which is $25.95. So with coupon code WARROOM, $14.95 for the InfoWars hexagon logo t-shirt, the official t-shirt of the War Room, and take advantage of that before midnight Friday when it goes back up to full price. So take advantage of that. And don't forget while you're there to check out all of the great supplements. Bone broth right now, $19.95 at InfoWarsStore.com. That's 50% off an introductory price of our brand new Ultimate Bone Broth formula. So we have remade our own formula, made it even better, and slashed the price. So for $19.95, you can get the Ultimate Bone Broth from InfoWarsStore.com. And I guarantee you, you will not find a better bone broth with better ingredients for a better price than you will Ultimate Bone Broth at InfoWarsStore.com. And the taste is great, too. It's the chocolate taste. I've now tried the Ultimate Bone Broth. I have to let the audience know, I said it was 20 grams of protein per scoop. It's actually 12, so I wanted to correct myself there. But still, I can do the two scoops. It suggested one. I do two scoops. I get 24 grams of protein. Excellent powder for your post-workout shake. So check it out at InfoWarsStore.com. And I know Roger's always hitting the weights. So you gotta hear from Roger. Roger, the bone broth. I mean, come on. Even a guy like you that's been hitting the weights forever appreciates this new bone broth formula.
No, these are extraordinary products. The supplements at the InfoWars.com store are the very best. So I have used the whey protein in the vanilla flavor and found it terrific. But the new bone broth is terrific if you're looking to build or maintain body weight. These are cutting-edge products using the very most modern nutraceutical principles. And in some of our formulas, we fuse them with ancient Chinese herbology to bring you the very best products. And of course, you can also grab your copy of my newest book, Stone's Rules, available at the InfoWars.com store as well. We'll be right back.
InfoWars.com/show. The left promises to launch a communist revolution. We promise to stand in their way. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Well, Roger is friends with one Mindy Robinson, a great American patriot. And she recently was trolling on the internet. Now, I'm not sure if Roger is aware of this story. Roger, have you heard this? You can pull this up from the mirror, guys, but this story has been going around. Yeah, oh boy. Lacy bras for men are now a thing, and you can also buy matching knickers. So apparently, men, according to this story, I don't know where this is going on. I don't know since when men are doing this, but apparently it's a new trend for men. I'm not talking about transsexuals. I'm talking about for men to dress up in panties and bras and lingerie, Roger. So I don't know when that became a thing, but according to Mirror, that is a thing. But I liked Mindy Robinson's response to it best. Mindy Robinson puts out this meme. If you guys want to do a doc cam or try to find it on her Twitter account, it's all right. If not, it's the picture of the liberal guy wearing his bra and panties. And then it's a picture of Mindy Robinson in a bra and panties. And you can tell one of these things works. The other, yikes. And I think the answer there is obvious, Roger. So there you go. There's Mindy Robinson's meme in response to lacy bra and panties apparently being a thing now. I don't think it's a thing, Roger. I don't know since when that's a thing, but apparently according to the...
I must say, Owen, I don't know a single man who works at InfoWars who dresses like that. Now, we're libertarians, and if you want to dress like that, it's a free country and you can do so. But I don't see this trend taking off in a big way, and nobody who wears that will ever make Roger Stone's International Best Dress List, which I... put out every New Year's Day.
Hold on, Roger. Thank you, guys. Thank you for reminding me. Can we just appreciate that for 1 second, Roger? Actually, if you could just zoom in on the right side of that frame and just, or maybe well, just
I can,
move.
I can most definitely appreciate Mindy Robinson on the right. She is a vivacious young woman and a terrific.
It's the man's ear. It's the man's ear. That was a Frank Costanza invention, the man's ear. They just one up Frank Costanza.
Really, really awful. No question about
Actually,
it.
Actually, hold on. What's that, Putin? Hold on, Roger. I'm getting something from Putin. Brian Stelter wears a bra and panties on air? Folks, this is coming from Vladimir Putin in my ear. I'm not reporting this. I'm just repeating Vladimir Putin in my ear. He says Brian Stelter wears... Specifically, lacy bra and panties, Brazilian thong style, on air. That's Putin coming into my ear. Can you guys stop that? Why is Putin in my ear right now? Okay. All right, Roger. We've had fun. Right.
Oh, and so let me go to a serious matter, because I'm now starting to get media inquiries about it. Roughly 2 weeks ago, a New York Times reporter approached one of my attorneys to say that a source, an anonymous source, said that in October of 2016, actually October 1st, that he overheard a phone conversation between myself and candidate Donald Trump, allegedly over a speakerphone that the presidential candidate had put me on, in which I told him specifics of what was coming in the WikiLeaks disclosures regarding Hillary. Now, I point out to you, the fact that WikiLeaks had material on Hillary Clinton was not a deep secret, since Julian Assange himself said it in June of 2016 in an interview on CNN. But this phone conversation never happened. In fact, as I told Chuck Todd on Meet the Press, I never discussed the WikiLeaks disclosures with candidate Trump ever on any occasion and in any regard. Now, the New York Times chose not to write that story, having found no corroboration. Shortly thereafter, I got a call from a Washington Post reporter. Same rundown, that somebody told them without attribution that they overheard a conversation with candidate Trump in which I told him what specifically was coming in the WikiLeaks disclosures. Also false, also without corroboration or confirmation. The Washington Post didn't write the story. Now, Ronan Farrow, who's broken a number of big stories for The New Yorker, has reached out to me, and the anonymous source, who I'm pretty sure I know who this person is, has reiterated this falsehood to The New Yorker. It is a complete and total canard, a fairy tale, a falsehood, a lie. As I told the House Intelligence Committee under oath, testimony that is 100% accurate, that I stand by, I never discussed the WikiLeaks disclosures with candidate Trump, period, at any time and in any regard. So I put up a video, which you can see on the InfoWars Twitter feed, which I sent to InfoWars for posting, and it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that this never happened. Now, if someone wants to put their name on this, if somebody wants to say that they heard it, and attribute it to themselves, I'd be happy to rebut. You notice that this is an anonymous claim.
Well, and Roger, I'm just looking at these stories, and it's funny because I get flashes of reading these lawsuits that I'm dealing with where it's just like, oh my gosh, you are just making stuff up. It's just, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't even imagine reading this stuff, right? You're reading a story about you and you're like, well, wait a second. Where was I for this? Where was I for this? I don't remember any of this happening. And it's just like, it's like a moment of like, I don't even know how to explain it. Where like crazy and insanity and lies and hatred all mixed together to just confront you all at once. And you're just like, what? You're just a total lie. How do I even, it's just wild to me, Roger. People don't understand. They will make up anything. They will literally make up anything and then publish it. They will make up anything and then claim it in a lawsuit. And it's like you just stand there like, really? This is so elementary. Do I even have to respond to this?
Well, and, look, it's Kafkaesque. I think it was Ben Franklin who said that, you know, a lie is halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on. And that is the case. So the big lie technique, unfortunately, still works. And look, I'm hopeful that Ronan Farrow, who so far I have no experience with him, so I don't know that he isn't a fair-minded reporter, will not report this without some corroboration because there is no corroboration. But it's pretty easy to figure out who was still in the Trump campaign and who is pushing this fabrication, someone who was pushed out of the Trump circle, someone who falsely took credit for Trump's election, who had very little to do with that election whatsoever. I think we know exactly who that is. And let's see if they tell the grand jury this, another fabrication. It is outrageous and it is false. The mainstream media, you are now on notice right here at the War Room with Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. Owen, you're my witness. I said it here. I laid down my marker. This never happened. It's just the latest in the extraordinary smears of any of Donald Trump's associates. They are very upset about the latest economic news. GDP at 4.6% when Barack Obama could only manage 2%. 4.3 million new jobs created when Barack Obama lost 3 million new jobs. The national deficit virtually cut in half from around $900 billion to about $500 billion, four and change, I believe. No, the country is on fire. The economy is on fire, I should say, under Donald Trump. And this makes the Trump haters and the never Trumpers even more hysterical in their use of falsehoods.
And it's only going to keep going up. I mean, we're just in the beginning phases of this. Once manufacturing really starts to hit a peak, once these plants start to open, Foxconn, I mean, if this stuff really takes off and then you get fair trade deals on top of it, it's just like U.S. economy just gone, like soaring.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. Owen Schroyer, Roger Stone with you. Final segment for my guest, Roger, here today. Roger, is there anything else you need to report or get off your chest before you depart us today?
Well, one thing I brought up last night on the Alex Jones show that I want to revisit because it's even worse than I thought. As you know, Owen, my longtime associate and friend, Kristen Davis, was subpoenaed to the grand jury in Washington, D.C., Robert Mueller's grand jury, to answer questions about me. I'm confident that she told them the complete truth, that she is aware of no Russian collusion or WikiLeaks collaboration or any other illegal act pertaining to the 2016 election or anything else. But she was told by prosecutors that her expenses to travel and stay overnight in Washington, D.C. would be paid. And she was encouraged to stay in her room and to not speak to the press. Therefore, she had dinner through room service. Now it turns out that the government has failed to reimburse her, sticking her with a bill for $1,800, and particularly excluding her in-room dining. Add to this the cost of child care, and you see the extraordinarily abusive process that is involved in these presentations to the grand jury. As I said earlier, prosecutors giddily tell the grand jury, Roger Stone is a dirty trickster, and he has said publicly that he'll do anything for his candidates to, quote, win at any cost. Obviously, they've never read any of my books, including Stone's Rules, or they would know that the caveat that I always add is anything short of illegal activity. So they are trying to create this caricature of me for the grand jury. Yeah, politics ain't beanbag. This is a contact sport, particularly in America. And I would admit right now, I was prepared to do anything whatsoever to defeat Hillary Clinton short of breaking the law. So again, it shows you that this is a witch hunt, a modern day inquisition, that Robert Mueller, the man who covered up the fact that five of nine 9/11 hijackers were training at a Sarasota flight school, who claimed that the local area Saudi family that was harboring them had no connection to 9/11. That was a lie. The man who arrested the wrong three suspects in the anthrax investigation, the one he did finally arrest, died mysteriously in custody of a Tylenol overdose. The man who let three men rot in a Boston jail for a murder that he knew they did not commit in order to cover up mob FBI informants. The man who covered up the facts about the BCCI investigation, who covered up in the Lockerbie Flight 103 investigation, he is the cover-up artist for the deep state. All of this seemed to miss the New York Times, who wrote a front page story yesterday by a reporter named Matt Apuzzo, who includes none of that information, pretending that Robert Mueller is godlike, that he's never made a mistake in his life, and that he doesn't have an extraordinary record for framing people and for the cover-up, all of which I just detailed. Tomorrow, Owen, I will be joining Howie Carr on Boston Radio to talk about the extraordinary record of Robert Mueller, who is not the angel you've been led to believe he is.
All right, Roger, continuing to do your media tours. You'll find him all over radio, all over television. So we got it's unbelievable, Roger. I've been doing a interview blitz, if you will, YouTube blitz, internet tour, if you will, a la yourself. It's one of those rules in Stone's Rules, the book. You can find it at InfoWarsStore.com. You got to stay relevant. And it's amazing. A lot of people ask me about that, the Mueller investigation, and I have the same response. But it sounds crazy, but I mean, it really is this. It's a fake investigation. I mean, you can sum it up by just saying that. I mean, we can get into the nuts and bolts and the complexities and everything that comes with it, and the Democrats and the partisan nature and how it goes back to the election and Hillary's crimes, even in the 90s. I mean, it's very complex, and there's all this stuff. And like you said, with Mueller and 9/11, so it's all there, and it is really deep. It is really complex, and there are a lot of different angles. But if you just wanted to summarize it and just put it into a capsule and say, swallow, this is a fake investigation, period. The Russian collusion Mueller probe is a fake investigation. Period, end of sentence, that's it. And you say, well, come on, you know. No, it's fake, Roger. It is 100% fake, and it's a setup to try to destroy Donald Trump, to try to destroy this republic and destroy any of Trump's associates so that they now know in the future, if you even think about running for president, we're going to take down all of your family and all of your friends. We're going to take them all down. Unless you're from the swamp, unless you're blackmailed, don't even think about running for president. So they run a fake investigation, Roger. This cannot go on much longer. This has to be stopped. President Trump is way too tolerant. I say screw the media, screw the mentally deranged people on the left. Shut it down. It is a fake investigation. It's costing us millions of dollars, and it's done more to destroy the integrity of the American election than any Russian could ever imagine.
You know, Owen, the most incredible thing I saw last week was Jeff Sessions responding to criticism from his boss, the president, saying that as long as he's attorney general, politics will never influence the thinking of the Justice Department. This insubordinate hillbilly is delusional. If there was any non-political or bipartisan nature of what's going on at the Justice Department, there'd be an examination of the crimes of the Clinton campaign, which are as obvious as the nose on my face, and that's a pretty prominent nose. I mean, they took $145 million from the Russian energy company when consideration of control of 20% of Russia's America's uranium reserves was on the table for approval. They laundered millions of dollars, Robbie Mook did, illegally for the Clinton campaign. All of this has been publicly reported, but Robert Mueller and his investigators looking into Russian corruption with a broader mandate than that, obviously self-obtained, have no interest in the crimes of Bill and Hillary Clinton. They're only interested in destroying everyone around Donald Trump, and the only crime they can find is their support for Donald Trump. So they fabricate offenses to take people down. That's why I must ask my many friends watching the War Room to please go to the StoneDefenseFund.com. StoneDefenseFund.com. I'm facing millions of dollars in legal bills, not only to beat back the phony lawsuits by the DNC and other left-wing cranks, the sore loser lawsuits, but an ongoing investigation by the Senate Intelligence Committee and this ongoing investigation by the special counsel. They can find no evidence of Russian collusion, no evidence that I received allegedly hacked emails from WikiLeaks and passed them on to Donald Trump or the Trump campaign, because all of that is false. So what do, Owen? They seek to destroy you financially. They seek to destroy my family. They seek to bankrupt me and destroy my reputation. Please, folks, take a moment to go to StoneDefenseFund.com now and help me, because my back is against the wall. I am facing an onslaught from a special counsel who's out of control. But unlike Paul Manafort, unlike Michael Cohen, I will be ready. And before it is over, I will expose their crimes. They may think that they are putting me on trial, but I will put them on trial if there's an attempt to frame me or to railroad me for non-existent crimes. And if they gag me, trust me, there are others who are prepared to step into that breach, including many right there at InfoWars. So God bless you, Owen. God bless our many followers here at InfoWars and those who have loyally followed the War Room. We are on a high here because as the social media giants have sought to shut us down, as you know, our audience has only gotten bigger. Please take a moment to go to the InfoWars.com store as well, because as we have laid out here on this broadcast, you can get a copy of my new book, Stone's Rules, and I will be happy to sign it and mail it to you if you buy it at InfoWars and send it to me with the receipt demonstrating that you got it at the InfoWars.com site. That address is 1007 North Federal Highway, Department 166, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33304. Buy your book, mail it to me. I will personalize it, sign it, and mail it back to you at my own expense.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Kill it.
Making talk radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Savannah Hernandez went out last week and did a man on the street asking people what they think about campaign finance violations. And the answers that she got won't surprise you, but they will show you what we're dealing with when it comes to fake news media deceiving the average American citizen.
Since the beginning of his presidency, Trump has gotten nothing but bad press in the media, with this week's report centering around illegal campaign violations. However, where was the media outrage when Bernie Sanders was fined $14,000 for illegal campaign contributions, Hillary Clinton was caught laundering $84 million, or even further, Obama was fined $375,000 for his own campaign violations? We're here on UT's campus to ask students what they think about this and why they think that there's so much media outrage.
There have been a lot of news stories this week about Trump and illegal campaign.
I think it's kind of pretty cool that these things are finally coming to light and that we've finally been able to actually get evidence and get it into court and succeed in doing the right thing and actually getting him under these charges, because it's been too long.
I think illegal should be held accountable, and I wish his supporters would realize that what he's doing shouldn't be allowed for any president or official, regardless of their party.
I don't know. He's just not to be trusted, honestly. I think that it's crazy that we live in a day and age where a president can get away with this stuff, and, you know, he's just so crooked and everything.
Right. What do you think about the fact that he is getting fined $375,000 for the campaign?
I think that they should honestly do more. I mean, $375,000, that's like pocket change to him. And I don't know, I just think that for some reason or another, they're not really being hard enough on him for all of the crimes that he's committed.
Right. What do you think about the fact that he's getting fined $375,000 for the illegal campaign?
Really? You're not...
I mean, do you think that he should be getting fined more?
I think it's kind of... That's kind of upsetting. Hopefully, this is just step one of the process, and that there's more that comes to light later. But if that's really all they're doing, then... Because illegal campaign contributions, I don't think are things that should be taken lightly. It kind of spits in the face of democracy, and the fact that it's such a light punishment is kind of weird.
Right. What do you think about the fact that he's being fined $275,000 for these illegal contributions?
I think he should be fined, and I think more legal action should be taken for all of his corruption.
I mean, I'm not a judge, but I'd like to see probably either... I don't know about bigger fines. I think...
So what if I told you that $375,000 campaign fine violation is actually for Obama, and he was actually charged with that?
Well, then, okay.
And Bernie Sanders was also caught accepting illegal campaign contributions, and Hillary Clinton was also caught laundering $84 million out of her.
That's absolutely horrible.
So what if I told you that Obama was actually the one that was fined that $375,000 for his own campaign?
I would feel the same way. I mean, I typically look at presidents based off of how they conduct themselves, and I'm not a very partisan person, so same thing.
Maybe instead of the fines being...
Well, I mean, you said that you wanted better punishment, bigger fines for things like illegal campaign contributions.
Yeah, well, I think...
So why didn't we see, I guess, this outrage in the media towards these past presidents and candidates that committed the same thing?
Well, there are probably a few reasons. I think the biggest reason is that most media you see does tend to be more liberal than conservative, and that's not to say that's a bad thing. It's just that they're more likely to not attack, but go after stories that...
All right, so there you go. A bunch of people thinking Trump is guilty of campaign finance violation when it's actually Clinton, Obama, Biden, and Sanders. But the media deceives them into thinking otherwise. We are in the final hour of the War Room here today. I've got some news that I still want to cover, and then I think I'll probably open up the phone lines in the final two segments. Let me do some groundwork here as we begin the final hour. As I have told you now, in the first hour, we've got two events coming up that we request your presence at. First, coming up in September, Saturday, September 22nd, 1 p.m. at the State Capitol in Austin, Texas, we have the Free Alex Jones Rally. It is hosted by Patriot Prayer, Joey Gibson, and others. We thank them for spearheading this. That is Saturday, September 22nd, 1 p.m. at the Capitol building here in Austin, Texas. It's Free Alex Jones, the rally here in downtown Austin. So if you would be interested in rallying with us for free speech and for Alex Jones' right to free speech, please join us Saturday, September 22nd, 1 p.m. at the State Capitol building in Austin, Texas. Then, on Saturday, November 10th, that's Saturday, November 10th at 1 p.m., I'm hosting the Stop Government Funding of Abortion Rally. Stop Government Funding of Abortion Rally. That is Saturday, November 10th at 1 p.m. at Planned Parenthood South here in Austin, Texas on Ben White Boulevard. So I think it's time for us to stop funding Planned Parenthood, which then also funds the Democrat Party. So if they're going to keep abortion legal, which I'm not for that, but okay, that's the law as is. Can we stop taking taxpayer funds to funding abortion and then funding the Democrat Party, which Planned Parenthood does? So we need to stop the government funding of abortion. That rally is Saturday, November 10th at 1 p.m. Now, I have an announcement to make here right now. And if you listen to the War Room, you know I've been teasing this, but now we have some of the groundwork laid. And I can now announce I have officially started the InfoWars Army. That is right. The InfoWars Army thus commences. What is the InfoWars Army? Well, first, let me just say this is a legal, lawful, and peaceful street activist group. We are not violent. We want peace. We do not promote violence. We do not condone violence. We are totally legal, totally lawful, and totally peaceful street activist group. It's the InfoWars Army. So what am I doing with this? Here's how it goes. We're going to have different ranks, and with each rank and accomplishment you get, I'll send you a care package or something along those lines. We're going to figure that out down the road. But here's what you do. You go out and you can file a report, you can do a video, you can have an event, you can do something street activism. For example, let's say CNN is doing a live broadcast and you get behind the camera and say CNN is fake news, InfoWars.com. Boom, you send that to me, you've just got promoted in the InfoWars Army. So it's all about going out, street activism, red pill activism out in the streets in the 3D realm that you then capture digitally and send to me, and then you join the army. So this is just kind of the beginning phases of this. Once people start submitting and I kind of have a better idea of who's out in the field with good ideas, shooting videos, coming up with good, you know, videos to shoot, we'll have a better idea of how we can really come together and make things trend and have essentially calls to action for things that we're doing. So this is just the beginning of the InfoWars Army. But again, it's legal, lawful, and peaceful street activism. So here's what you can do. I'm getting the email right now. InfoWarsArmy@InfoWars.com. InfoWarsArmy@InfoWars.com. Or you can tweet at me at All I Do Is Owen. I see all the tweets that get sent at me. Send me a video. For example, you've got Michael DeBarry, who's badass Uncle Sam, who goes out on the streets once a week, probably more than that, and just talks to people. He's dressed up as Uncle Sam, gets in political conversations, has a booth set up. And so if you're doing stuff like that, you can even send me older videos that you've done and we can bring you in now. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something that you haven't done yet. If you want to submit certain street activism you've done in the past, you can go ahead and submit it. So someone like that or Fleckus Talks, pretty much with their resume coming in would immediately be jumped to the rank of like corporal or lieutenant or something. Most people submitting their first video will probably just get the rank of private, and we move on from there. But you'll have direct access to communications with me, and we will always play your content here on the War Room, as well as give you a shout out and even potential airtime, depending on the rank and the video and your interest in that. So this is the official announcement. I am launching the InfoWars Army. So starting tomorrow, you can email me content at InfoWarsArmy@Infowars.com or submit your content to me at All I Do Is Owen on Twitter. And I'll be going through all of this. I'll be playing the content on air, and everybody will be getting a rank. And eventually, we're going to have some sort of a public forum where all of this is available for us to communicate with one another and to come up with calls to action. Again, legal, lawful, peaceful street activism, so that we can change the world together in the 3D realm and actually red pill people in real time. So come up with your own ideas. Figure something out. I will review it and then decide what your rank is in the Army. So again, this is just the announcement. We're just getting this launched off the ground, but I want to have a way for people out there to get active, because people are always calling in and they're saying, hey, I've got this video. Hey, I did this and I did that. Well, I mean, I can't keep track of everything. But now with this, you submit that video instead of calling in and saying, hey, I did this or that. You submit that to InfoWarsArmy@Infowars.com. I then review it, perhaps play it on the show, bring you on as a guest, and then you get a new rank in the InfoWars Army. So this is just coming out. I'm excited to be doing this. I think that a lot of people out there who are already engaged, already doing street activism, are going to find a new way to amplify their message and to communicate with other patriots who are doing similar things to then team up and become more powerful. So that's my goal with this, and we're just now rolling this out. We're going to have eventually a flow chart with all the rankings and the email and everything set up, but that's where we're going from now. So InfoWarsArmy@Infowars.com, or you can tweet whatever your submission is to join the Army to me at All I Do Is Owen. And basically, we'll be sending out rankings, and we'll have some sort of a care package. I'll mail you a personal letter, and we will perhaps even bring you on here on air or play your content here live on air as well. So that is the big announcement. I'm excited. I've already have people that are interested in this, and this is kind of how we can form a team and figure out how to amplify certain videos, certain street activism activities, instead of just someone putting it on a YouTube channel that maybe only gets 50 views. And so they call in and say, hey, look at that video. And then, I mean, I really never have the time, or it skips my mind. So this is how we can kind of cement this. And I think it's going to work going forward. And there's also going to be a branch under the InfoWars Army called University Wars, where I specifically want students to film professors being either anti-American, you know, racist, communist, Marxist, anti-Trump, whatever it is, just your crazed professors. We've seen the videos. You can submit those to the University Wars division of InfoWars Army, and you can work your way up those ranks even quicker. There's 8 ranks in the InfoWars Army, 4 ranks in the University Wars Army. And I need someone to head up the University Wars Army eventually, because I'm going to be doing the InfoWars Army. So if there's anyone interested in that, maybe we can get that working. So that's the big announcement. We'll have the email set up tomorrow, InfoWarsArmy@Infowars.com. And again, I am calling on you out there to get active in the streets. Figure out what you want to do for yourself. Go to a city council meeting and raise hell about what you think's going wrong in your city. Go out to your local state capitol and sit on the steps with a megaphone and tell them you got a fake Russian witch hunt investigation going on. The real collusion's on the other side. Anything. You come up with the ideas. Go behind a CNN broadcast and shout, CNN is fake news, InfoWars.com. Go do like Millie Weaver. Go find Brian Stelter. Do a 20-minute interview with Brian Stelter. Or excuse me, what's the loser's name? Jim Acosta. So you come up with the ideas. You submit it to me. I amplify it. And then I give you a direct line of communication with us to amplify the message.
Do you realize that when you spread
the war room, InfoWars.com/show.
Boy, it's tough to turn off the Rolling Stones. Actually, you know what? Turn it off. It's easier than I thought. All right, welcome back to the War Room. Final hour here. I'm going to open up the phone lines. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. Your calls will be taken the rest of the hour. But before we get to your phone calls, let's go into the mind of the mentally deranged. Let's go into the mind of the Trump derangement syndrome. Let's start with Robert Reich. Robert Third Reich. Robert Reich tweets out, impeachment would remedy Trump's high crimes and misdemeanors, but not his unconstitutional presidency. Unconstitutional presidency. Where does he base that? We should also aim for its annulment. Its annulment. His appointments, legislation, rules, and executive orders. He wants to totally erase President Trump and the millions of people that elected him, the most popular president in modern history. And they have this false narrative because they run all the hate against Donald Trump and because everything's so hyper-polarized. Make no mistake about it, Donald J. Trump is the most popular president in modern-day history. It's not even close. They had to block the inauguration lines. I have the video, honestly. It's like, I should just play it every day. They admit it. They admit that they're blocking people from entering the inauguration. There's tens of thousands of people waiting to get in, can't even get in because the Trump protesters are blocking them from getting in. Trump had the biggest inauguration crowd in history, but they blocked it and then lied about it so that you wouldn't know that. And so now Robert Reich just wants to erase history and destroy America. Robert Reich, a professor, I believe it's at Berkeley, and he wants to annul everything. So just erase the economic growth. Just erase it all. Erase the jobs growth. Erase the economic growth. Erase the GDP growth. Erase everything Trump has done. Let's make America a hell pit. Let's make America a third world nation. And let's let Robert Reich be the one to do it. He wants to annul everything. So annul all the economic growth. Annul everything. Just annul it. Just destroy America. That's Robert Reich. But he goes on. Robert Reich. Professor at Berkeley. Can we stop for a second to acknowledge that the lawyer for the president of the United States is warning of civil unrest? Oh my gosh, he's warning of civil unrest? How dare he? Even though Robert Reich is calling for civil unrest, and he's been doing so for 2 years in a series of YouTube videos that I covered here on the War Room. So Robert Reich is actually calling for civil unrest, and then Giuliani warns of it, and Reich says, oh, he's the bad guy. Trump is in it, and his enablers are escalating their rhetoric to frighten the nation into submission. Wait a second. Hold on. Robert Reich says, Trump and his enablers are escalating their rhetoric to frighten the nation into submission. But then what does Robert Reich say next? If Trump pardons Manafort and or Cohen, we rise up. What? Wait a second. Isn't that Robert Reich's rhetoric enabling people to escalate the nation into frightening the nation? Wait. Robert Reich says Trump's rhetoric is frightening the nation, but then Robert Reich says if Trump pardons Manafort, we rise up. Well, what does that mean? What it means is that Robert Reich is a little man, very, very little man, actually legally a midget, and this small man, Robert Reich, is just trying everything he can to try to get noticed. He's a loser, but here we go into the mind of the insane Robert Reich, the last surviving munchkin. All right, let's go deeper into the mind of the insane. Actor Josh Gad begs America, please vote so I can escape this never-ending hellscape. Let's go into the mind of the insane Josh Gad. Please vote. If enough of us vote, this never-ending hellscape can end. Whatever side of the aisle you stand on, it should be clear at this point. These are not good people. Yeah, but Hillary Clinton, just great people. Bernie Sanders, you know, great people. Trump's rhetoric has spread like a disease and rotted the brains of people across our vast country. Perhaps this is why
Perhaps this is the way many people always felt, but now they certainly feel like they have a platform to be open with such ignorance and hate. I'm not heartbroken by our president's recklessness, hypocrisy, vitriol, demonization of norms, attack on civil liberties, and his predatory treatment of women, but because that's what he ran on. I'm heartbroken by all who continue to support him knowing what he is. That's Josh Gad into the mind of the insane.
Wait a second, Josh. You're in Hollywood. It was Hollywood that treats women like predators. That was Hollywood, Josh. Are you going to denounce Hollywood? No, didn't think so. Demonization of norms? What norms? You're the ones that are promoting transsexualism. You're the ones that are promoting 77 genders. You're the ones that are promoting Johnny had two mommies. So who's really demonizing the norms? You. You have to wonder how one becomes so insane. How does one become so mentally deranged like Josh Gad? These are not good people, he says. Oh, but Hillary Clinton, the alternative. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's real good hanging out with people like Laura Silsby, Bill Clinton riding on Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile Lolita Express dozens of times, ditching secret security to do it. Sanders, Biden, Obama, Clinton, all guilty of campaign finance violations, Trump not. How does one become so insane? Or is there something else behind this fear? Is there something else that Trump has them so scared about? Because in logic and reason does not exist in their hate for Donald Trump. There is no logic and reason on the surface to these people. Unless they genuinely hate America and want to see America poor and a third world country. So maybe that's the case. Or is there something else? Is there something else? Maybe a Donald Trump tweet from 2012 saying people who abduct and rape children need to die. Maybe that's what has these people in Hollywood so fired up and these Democrats so angry and upset. I don't know. Just guessing. All right. Back into the mind of the mentally deranged. Some of these mentally deranged people are really good at playing with balls, but when it comes to politics, should shut their mouths. Unless, of course, you're the genius, the essence of genius, Steph Curry. ESPN has a story on Steph Curry. When it comes to women's equality, it's personal for Steph Curry. And I quote, "I want our girls to grow up knowing that there are no boundaries that can be placed on their futures, period. I want them to grow up in a world where their gender does not feel like a rule book for what they think, or be, or do." Well, I got good news for you, Steph Curry. Your daughters live in the United States of America, the most free country in the world. Your daughters are growing up in the best country in the world to be a woman. So congratulations, Steph Curry. When it comes to women's equality, there is no better nation on earth than the United States of America. So I got good news for your two daughters. They will be raised free in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Good thing you don't live in Saudi Arabia. Good thing you don't live in the Middle East. Your daughters wouldn't be free there. So thank God Steph Curry is raising his daughters in the United States of America, the best country in the world. Good news for you, Steph Curry. Your daughters will be free.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump, the President of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, I'm about to take your phone calls, but I wanted to read this tweet that just came across my desk. And I want you to think about this, because all of this advice, I would say, is great advice to engaging your intellect and expanding your intellect. It's from a fake Warren Buffett account. At least I think it's fake. It says, "The smartest people I know don't get easily offended, read more than they talk, enjoy intelligent discourse, quickly admit when they're wrong, comfortable changing their opinion, surround themselves with intelligence, and seek to understand every perspective on a topic." Great advice. I would say just in general, you read that, apply that to yourself, and see if you're meeting those criteria or not. I'd say that is all seven good bullet points to improving your own intellect and expanding your own horizons and gaining deeper understandings of subject material. So I wanted to share that with you. I personally would say, taking all that advice already before reading that, definitely good advice. And just in general, this is mainly for Hollywood and the athletes out there who think they understand everything about politics. I would suggest that you actually do a little research and know what you're talking about before you open your mouth. You know, I'm going to say this, and I promise I'm going to the phones. It's always amazed me. It has always amazed me. Ever since I could comprehend thought, it has always amazed me that people will say something and commit to something as if they have knowledge of the subject, as if they know the subject, when they know nothing. I've just never understood how one can come at you with confidence in something they know nothing about. It's really incredible, is it not? Always amazed me. And I deal with it every time I do a street video. So let's go out to the phone lines now for the remainder of the war room. Let's go to Jim in Georgia. Fire away, Jim.
Hey, Owen Schroyer.
Hey, Jim in Georgia.
And Justice Militia. This is Mr. Justice Militia.
I thought it might have been the Justice Militia calling in from the good old South or the dirty South.
Hey, I appreciate it so much, the interview. Honestly, and I'll move on, but I wanted to thank you in public for allowing us that time. And some people saw the back story of how the interview actually started in the beginning, and they saw your patience and your kindness, and we appreciate that so much.
Well, it's no problem. Honestly, I think I've done two interviews a day since I made the announcement, and I've got two more tonight and then two a day moving forward. It's actually been pretty good. I've only had... I believe three of them not even make it to air. So overall, all things considered, that no offense, but I'm dealing with amateurs, a lot of people just starting their own YouTube channel. I think the success rate is really good. So I salute you for taking the time to bring me on, interview me, and everybody else that's done so. I think that I'm totally booked up now, though, through the rest of August. So all the inquiries I have sitting in my inbox, unfortunately, guys, I'm booked up. But thanks to everybody for reaching out.
Oh, yes, sir. Can we do a battle cry together?
A battle cry? All right, you lead us off.
Yeah. Owen Schroyer! InfoWars.com!
Jim from Georgia, the Dirty South with Justice Militia. We're taking Georgia back from the commies.
Yeah!
All right, anything else, Jim?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of material I wanted to cover earlier. Really quick, I want to share something with you. I'm going to try to pare this down because I want to do a plug for the products also. But I'm having an issue, and a lot of people are, when we go on and we, you know, and I like to use the phone and talk to people and have my orders taken that way. I also like to control when I spend my money to buy the products. So I'm not on auto ship. But my issue is sometimes I have to change which email address, and I don't know if you know about this or not, but because you only have a certain amount of times you can order on a certain email address, and then you have to change your email address. So, in the age of,
I got to tell you, Jim, only because I have a finite amount of time here, you got to address that to the customer service. I really have no idea what that. So address that to the customer service, and if you could just get your point off quick here, I got to get to other calls.
Oh yes, sir. I use Super Blue non-fluoride toothpaste, Super Silver wound dressing gel, Brain Force, Survivor Shield X2, Silver Bullet, Super Male, Alpha Power, Bodies, Pollen Block, Probiotic, Biome Defense, and Myco ZX, and the Real Red Pill. I have bought three. I don't know if you've seen these, but the Silver Rounds, the Silver Proofs, also three of the belt buckles, and countless other things like hats and everything else. But I've been, blowing wind into the sales as much as I can.
Well, Jim, I got to tell you, you make it all possible. And for someone that's been supporting InfoWars for a long time, somebody that invests a lot of your own hard-earned cash into InfoWars, is it worth it? Do we deliver?
Oh, yes. And the thousands of dollars that I've spent on long-term, non-GMO, storable food. I mean, we're ready for a while. You understand?
Look at all the stuff you've got going on. Hurricanes, earthquakes, wildfires. I mean, not having emergency food is just, it's just ignorant at this point.
Yes, sir. I wanted to plug one more thing. My man, Andrew James, he also interviewed you, has Battle for Freedom on Facebook and YouTube. He is streaming all of your shows on his YouTube channel.
He's done well, Lord Vader.
Yes.
All right, Jim. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for your support. It's people like Jim that make everything possible. And that's how we expand. That's how we hire new crew. I'm telling you, Alex, just, you know, the guy, it's pedal to the metal all the time with Alex. And because of that, it's your support that's needed to fuel that. I mean, it's like a gas guzzler, just pedal to the metal. And so your continued support makes everything possible. Thank you so much, Jim. Let's jump to Josh in Texas. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, Owen?
Going good.
I was just calling to pretty much talk about the censorship. It's not just Alex who's banned, it's his likeness. And I'd also like to, my wife Marissa would like to give a shout out to the Shemale Vitality. Thank you.
The female vitality, or did he say the Shemale Vitality?
Yeah, well, no. My wife, Marissa, says that the Shemale Vitality is great.
Would you like to continue?
That was pretty much my whole point.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you were an okay troll. I can't milk much out of you. You don't have much pulp. There's not much juice there. I like the troll callers. It's just that one was weak. All right, let's take Diego real quick in Texas. Go ahead, Diego.
Hey, Owen. It's a great pleasure talking to you, man. I want to say, man, I pray for you guys, for the president, for our country. I'm a true patriot, dude. I love you guys. I wanted to say, as soon as they took y'all off the air, I fired off a letter to the president saying, man, this censorship has to stop, man. We as Americans have to come together and I'm talking about all Americans. We have to come together and let these people know that this is not good for anyone. These democratic, demonic, satanic, pedophilic people, they're a cancer to our society, man. I wanted to say, I've listened earlier to Sean Hannity, and they were talking about Bruce Orr and all these other treason people. And when they said the firewall is gonna hold, it came to my, it was like a revelation, man. Those firewalls are Jeff Sessions and Mueller, man. We got to get a word out from the president to get those guys out of here.
No, exactly. And Trump has all the cards in his hands. Look, you know, I've said this. If Hillary Clinton or the deep state, if these people aren't in jail or just totally, like, if they don't flee, then everything Trump did, I think, will be null and void. You have to jail these people.
We knew it was coming.
Infowars.com/show.
This is Brian Stelter from CNN, and I'm now taking over the Infowars broadcast. I've got news. That's right. You're all going to float in the end. But I've got news for you, for the audience of the War Room today. We are going to annul this presidency. That's right. We're going to steal this election from the American people. We're going to steal your prosperity, and we're going to censor free speech. And it's all because I'm a huge loser. That's right. So because I'm a big loser and nobody loves me and watches my program, I'm shutting down everything else. I'm stealing your president. I'm stealing everything from you. Yes! Don't question me!
Look at me. I'm in charge now. I am Brian Stelter. Yes, Pennywise is my great uncle, but that doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with me. So I'm coming. We're coming for your president, baby. We're going to shut your president down. We're going to end all this presidency, all the economic growth, all the records, all the prosperity. We're going to end all of it. And I'm going to be at the helm. And everybody will remember me, Brian Stelter, the face of real news, number one in news, Brian Stelter.
Wow, Brian, good luck with that. That'll be the day. Brian Stelter, number one in news, huh? Doubt that. But that is what they're trying to do. We already covered that in the last segment. They want to annul Trump's presidency now. They want to use social media and Google to try and rig the midterm elections by censoring free speech, silencing Republicans, pretending they're not there. And then who knows what they'll do with the electronic voting machines. But it's all out there. I covered all of it in the first hour. We covered the rigged email investigation. We've covered all of it. I'm going to have Leo Zagami on with me tomorrow to discuss the Pope and the pedophile activity going on that is now being linked to that Pope as far as the corruption in the Catholic Church is concerned. So we'll cover that with Leo Zagami tomorrow. I also announced the InfoWars Army today. So I am starting an InfoWars Army. This is a legal, lawful, peaceful street activist group, but you can find all of that information also from the first segment of this third hour, how you can get involved with that. But I've got phone calls to get to here in the final segment. So let's jump out to Tyler Baggins. Go ahead, Tyler.
Actually, Owen, this isn't Tyler Baggins. This is his brother, Derek Baggins. He went grocery shopping, and I swiped his phone to get blackmail on the family. And while I was looking through his apps, I saw the InfoWars Live app. And I don't usually like InfoWars because I get my news from reliable sources. But I clicked on it, and you were talking to this boy in a jacket and glasses about the shooting down in Jacksonville. And it's just, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it because it's so sad and it's sick, you know, because we've been trying to cultivate and curate this non-competitive, non-aggressive environment in the world. And I think the blame lies solely to rest on these big video game companies that are just ramming this stuff down our throats with these ultra-realistic, ultra-violent, and ultra-competitive video games. Because when people get competitive, they have trouble, man. I don't know. Have you ever lost a game? It's real tough, man. I've never even finished a game of Monopoly, but it's capitalist anyway. It's capitalist anyway. But that's not my point. My point is that we are giving these people digital trauma. They're getting digital concussions, and they're having digital concussion syndrome, and they're acting all crazy out there.
Maybe the answer is then no more keeping score during video games. In fact, no more keeping score in sports either. I think maybe that's the answer. We're going to let Tyler Baggins' brother maybe figure that out as we let him go, and hopefully we get Tyler on next time. He's been compromised out there. All right, let's jump over to Eagle Eye in Tennessee. Go ahead, Eagle Eye.
Owen, hey, I really appreciate you taking my call. I joined the military in 99 when Clinton was still in office, and I was in just long enough after. And, of course, I read 1984, you know, when I was 18, right before I joined. And, I was in for 2 years before 9/11 happened. And I was directly involved with those events and everything that took place after the fact in Afghanistan and in Iraq as part of the invasion. And I just wanted to call and say I really appreciate the information that you've been able to put out there to bring to light, that you've worked hard to and sacrificed for to bring that information out to counter what it is these globalists are trying to do to bring down this country, to break the spirit of the American people. I want to stand here and say with you that I am a true patriot, and I am, you know, here for this country. I'm praying for this country. I'm praying for you. I pray that everyone turn to God, seek God in their lives, seek to know what God's will is for your life. Stop doing what you want to do and look and do what God would have you to do, because that's the only way we're going to overcome these ungodly, horrific people that have somehow managed to corrupt and to take over our system.
Well, that's true. It really is a spiritual battle at its very roots, and that's what everything stems from. But let me ask you a question, Eagle Eye, someone that was directly impacted by September 11th. I've tried to make sense of this, and of course, I kind of do it tongue-in-cheek because I do get it, but I put it out there so the audience can kind of chew on it to try to make sense of it. So let me just pose this question to you so that you can kind of put your angle on this. What do you make of this phenomenon right here, this crazy dynamic where in September of 2001 and then the following months and years after that, we were told that radical Islamic terrorists who hate our way of life and want to see us wiped off the map and killed and slaughtered attacked our country and will be continuing to attack our country to try to kill us and end America's way of life, to end the West. We were told that. We spent trillions of dollars of war on that, costing thousands of American lives on that notion. So again, under the auspices that radical Islamic terror and their jihadis are trying to hunt us and kill us and end our way of life at all times, we started a war on terror against radical Islamic terrorism, still going on, has never ended, and we've spent trillions of dollars, destroyed many nation states, and have lost thousands of American lives. Yet somehow here we are today, and we defend Muslims. In fact, we want them in our country. We promote them getting into our government. We have 50,000 of them at the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota chanting Allahu Akbar. So I'm not even trying to say whether that's good or bad. I'm just trying to understand the dynamic. War against radical Islam has never been ended. Trillions of dollars, thousands of lives lost. We were told these people hate our way of lives and want to slaughter all of us. Yet none of that has ever been refuted. None of that has ever been turned back. None of that has ever ended. But now we say, oh, well, how dare you insult Islam? Don't say that. Bring them all in here. Welcome them all. Don't be intolerant. Yes, let them in the government. In fact, put them in the government, you racist. Let them have an Allahu Akbar chant in New York City stopping traffic. Let them have 50,000 at U.S. Bank chanting Allahu Akbar. So I'm not saying whether it's good or bad, but what do you make of that dynamic? How do we go from radical Islam, fight them, they want to kill us, trillions of dollars, huge war, never ending that, to just saying, how dare you be intolerant against Islam? Let them all in. Don't you say anything hateful about them. How do you trying to break down that dynamic? I'm sorry to do this to you, but in 60 seconds.
Well, first of all, you have to understand that they could not have done what they did by themselves any more than I can go out and start my own internet by myself. They had to have support to do so. You follow the money, Owen. You know this. It's big bankers, you know, and it was, you know, globalists in every country, including our own. We've got enemies, both foreign and domestic, that we're dealing with in this situation, and you know that to be true. And I have no doubt that there were people in our own country, sadly enough, that participated and you know, brought that event to power. Now, the other part and the other element to answer your question is we have been under a psychological operations attack for at least since 9/11 in high gear. You know, of course, they've been doing this for over 100 years, this propaganda machine, you know, all the lies that they built up and so on and so forth, you know, but you'd have to get me on for a whole hour to expand on that.
Well, I thank you for your brief breakdown, and thank you for calling in your service. But again, my point is to just show exactly that. It's all psychological warfare. The whole thing was started on fake news. They can't even straighten their story out. They want you to believe two things at the same time because they think you're that stupid. Thanks to everybody for calling in today, for tuning in today. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.